You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe started 65 minutes ago. Brian went further back in the SNL player. SNL player just lets him basically press rewind on the show. I was wrong. He was right. Texture that we banned. My bad. You're not banned. Please forgive us.
Or forgive me, specifically. I'm sorry, Brian.
We'll hear it again in the last segment, and probably Thursday.
Again, I'm sorry, Brian.
I accept it, but the way you talked in the right after that was pretty aggressive.
Yeah. He's acting like Janice McNair. 713-780-3776.
The leader of the community.
713. Is she?
I guess so.
Are you say she's not?
Prove it.
What proof do you have that she's not?
Behind every great man is a great woman.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, just like a cow.
Well.
Facts. Fact. We mean well.
Well, she's kind of the leader of that relationship.
And? Are you saying she wears the pants, Joe?
Yes.
And? Are we complaining?
No, that one's more of a, behind a great woman is a great man. Because he's behind.
But is he a great man?
Yeah, he's a great man.
I think
so.
Kidding
me? Cow? Carrie doesn't think so, but I do.
He likes video games. Likes to grill.
Yeah.
I do like those things.
He checks the boxes.
I do like those things.
He's got a handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
He's got a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
Good. You having a little party?
What don't we like about Cal? I like everything about him. I wish I was Cal.
As long as he's not actually making the decisions, yes.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah, no.
We don't want anything sophisticated around Cal.
We want him as a mascot.
We just want to be Cal.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to be Cal.
He'd be a great guy to hang out with. He'd be a great guy to be in his circles. Like, I want to be in his group chat. I want to ride shotgun in his G-Wagon.
I just don't want to have power of attorney.
I want to go to those baseline out-of-bounds seats in the front row that he has for Rockets games.
Brian, can you be a Cal for Halloween next year?
I could probably pull that off.
Like, but you gotta grow out the mustache, though.
I want to be in the owner's suite on game day.
Yes, that'd be great.
Yeah. Like, I want to be a little bit of Jerry Jones. If I were an owner, I'd be a little bit of Jerry Jones.
Well, if I go as Cal, one of you got to dress up as Carrie.
I don't know what Carrie looks like.
I don't know.
We got
a year to figure it out.
I think Carrie looks like Cal without the handlebar mustache.
Really?
Yeah.
He's like a professional-looking Cal?
Yes. It's like
before. Corporate Cal.
The McNairs are like mullets, like party in the back, business up front. Yeah. Carrie's the business and Cal's the party. Those are the McNair mullet brothers, those two. Dysom Davis says a junkie, like instead of Shred'em Stroud. He kind of looks like Jim Crane, Carrie McNair does.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine, Joe just pulled up Carrie McNair. Carrie McNair looks like Jim Crane. I think he looks more like Jim Crane than he does than Cal McNair. If you would have put up a
like
picture.
He looks more like his dad.
I see that a bit.
He looks like Bob.
But if you put up a picture of Carrie McNair and you said, which owner's brother is this, Jim Crane or Cal, I would say Jim Crane.
I think,
if I went into that blindly, I would say he looks more like Crane than McNair.
I mean, that's a point to Carrie then.
You don't want to look like Cal?
I'd rather look like Jim Crane than Cal McNair.
Fair.
I'd rather be associated with Jim Crane than Cal McNair also.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think one of them we think far more of their business savvy than the other.
I don't know, man. Not on that part. Not on that part. We certainly look at Crane as more business savvy. I'm not sure if you just polled the city. Maybe this will be a Twitter poll. I'll tweet it out here in a little bit. Which owner would you rather be, Cal McNair or Jim Crane? What do you think it's going to land on by the end of the show?
I think more people would want to own a football team.
That's not really what my point, though.
But that's how the Twitter poll.
All right, let's phrase it in a fair way, then. That's fine.
More like, would I rather be thought of having the intelligence of Jim Crane or the intelligence of Cal McNair? That was my point. And also the looks.
I think that's kind of framing it, though.
Well, that's how I framed it, though.
I know. It was your point.
He's trying to take you out of context.
No, I'm not. I'm not, though. We're having a conversation about how we want to frame this question. That's not taking him out of context.
You can still ask that question.
No, because I think it'd be lopsided.
Yeah. No, I think it would.
Would you rather be thought of having Cal or Crane's intelligence?
Or maybe just characteristics or attributes. You don't even have to throw intelligence into it. Just characteristics or attributes.
Let's just go attributes.
Okay.
What would you rather be thought of, Cal or Crane's attributes? And we'll clean it up the language on that a little bit. Okay. All right. I didn't want to do it this time. You don't have to rage bait Branham. He's already a spicy meatball. That's kind of racist of you, Jasper. What college coach lied about a timeout, Jeremy? Kirby Smart. Why? What's that? Well, I don't understand what we're doing here.
I think he's getting our takes confused.
Yeah, that was Joe's thing.
What did he say?
I said that he should be fined for lying.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how it really relates to anything we've been talking about, but...
CJ is emotionally beat up and damaged this year. The real question is, how do the Texans get him back from being football Fromber? CJ Stroud was playing his best five quarters of football this season when he got concussed. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this with CJ Stroud? He was the AFC Player of the Week. He was playing well in the first half against Denver. He had two drives and two scoring drives, right? Mm-hmm. Did he have two scoring drives
and he got
concussed in his third?
Sounds right.
Why? Like, he's playing his best football of the season.
I think it's because people are frustrated with the team and they're taking some frustration out on the quarterback. It seems like he's getting the blame for some people of everything that's going wrong in the season.
I don't think there's any quarterback controversy, but my one question is, why does it seem like Davis gets the ball out and makes decisions quicker than CJ? What is the difference? See, I think CJ was struggling with that early in the year. I thought he was doing really good at it against San Francisco and Denver. I think he started to do really good in that area. I think it's a fair assessment, and I actually had the thought yesterday in the game. I was like, I wonder if CJ Stroud's going to be better off watching Davis Mills for a game or two, seeing how he operates the Cayley offense, getting the ball out quick, being more decisive, seeing you can have success doing it that way. Mm-hmm. But the caveat I would say there is that Stroud was starting to do those things.
Yeah, I don't think it's that difference. Also, there's some limitations, I think, of what Davis Mills can do beyond the quick throw. That's why he has to put an emphasis on that when he plays quarterback. He knows his limitations. He can't do everything that CJ Stroud can do on a football field. So he runs the offense in the way that he can best run it, and that's getting the ball out as quick as possible.
The neck wrecked.
He did.
Cal is Tommy boy. What about Tillman? Yeah, Tillman didn't really come up in the conversation. I love Tillman, though.
I also feel like you put Tillman in that. At this point, it's going to be a landslide.
Probably at the moment. Yeah. Would rather be Cranes as a junkie. Is it possible that Mills has the better arm? His passes don't seem to float as much. Also, Davis looks more willing to use his legs.
No? I don't think he has a better arm than CJ?
No. I don't think that it's like leaps and bounds different, though.
Yeah, I don't think it's like, yeah.
Like, Davis Mills,
pure arm strength?
Davis Mills might have a faster fastball. Like, CJ Stroud doesn't have a howitzer.
If they were both to stand at the goal line, I could see Mills throwing it further.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think it's so much of a difference to where it really makes a difference on game
day. No, I think it'd be the difference of like 5 yards and then like 2 or 3 miles per hour. Yeah. And I also think that arm strength can be overrated at times. Stroud's more accurate of the two. He's a little bit more athletic. I don't think it's a crazy gap, though.
I don't either.
Like, Davis Mills has sneaky athleticism, and I think we overrate Stroud's athleticism at times. I don't think there's a massive gap between the two athletically. Stroud better, but I think the divide is closer than what we think of the divide.
Yeah, I feel like if you had a two side-by-side plays of the Davis Mills touchdown run and then a similar play from CJ, I feel like it looks pretty...
Yeah.
Step and step together.
Also, the narrative? I heard this narrative yesterday in the group chat that CJ Stroud's unwilling to run.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with it at all.
I will agree with it in one specific example. I don't know if CJ takes off on the last play that Mills scored on.
Yes.
I think CJ probably stands in the pocket for a little longer, tries to find the option. I don't think he necessarily shies away from running, but in that specific situation, I don't think he would have taken off and tried to get to the corner.
I don't know.
That's a gut feel, admittedly, but I don't think he would have.
Like, I think there's times that Stroud abandons the pocket too quick, actually. I looked this up because yesterday I said it in the group chat. CJ Stroud is 10th in the NFL for rushing yards by a quarterback. I think he runs enough. I think that's proof that he runs plenty.
That to me goes back to like the misconception of CJ Stroud still about being a running quarterback. Like people want him. They think he doesn't
run
enough.
He never ran at Ohio State.
Yeah, like they think he doesn't run enough.
Yeah.
Because they just expect him to run more than he actually does when he's playing in the way that he does.
Here, I think he runs enough. Secondly, what happened the last time CJ Stroud ran?
Got hurt.
Why are we wanting him to run more?
Yeah, I like my quarterback in the pocket.
How much would Mills be worth on the trade market right now?
That's a good question.
I think a fourth or a fifth.
That sounds fair.
There's no comparing the two quarterbacks. Stroud is a top 10 quarterback in the league. Debatable. I still trade him for 3 first rounders or a second in a player, though. Davis Mills has a faster official 40 time yard than Stroud. Show that, because I don't think Stroud ever ran the 40. I don't think Stroud ever ran the 40 yard dash.
He probably did at Ohio State, didn't he?
I don't know that he did. Like on his pro day?
Yeah.
I don't know that he did. I don't know why he would. Like, he's going to be a top 5 quarterback. A lot of times those guys won't run because they know that. Send us the info on that, Texter. I'm not sure that he ran the 40. I think we forget CJ would not have thrown 2 interceptions to start the game. Well, Mills threw 1, but yeah. ESPN Next Gen stats have Davis Mills running 19.5. Can't believe they had that on the ticker today. What does ESPN Next Gen say about Stroud? I wonder his high-end speed. But that's probably pretty close to Stroud. Like, anything over 20 is pretty fast.
I can't imagine it's that much different.
Give me Stroud's Next Gen. Stroud runs a lot, but 15 yards backwards. What if CJ's been concussed this entire time? What?
What does that mean?
Pete Mills might be able to read defenses better with that neck than Stroud. Is that a Stanford joke? I didn't realize that he and Schultz were teammates at Stanford, by the way.
Same. I had that conversation with Joe before the show. I did not realize they were teammates.
Yeah. Ian Eagle dropped that nugget, and I was like, huh, okay.
I was like, hasn't Dalton Schultz been in the NFL for like 15 years?
I didn't think that dude was smart enough to get into Stanford. That's what I thought. I was like, Mills, yeah, Schultz, huh? I didn't know he was smart enough to do that. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Craig, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Wonderful.
Good.
Good. I appreciate listening to the show, and I thank y'all for everything. I've been listening, and I had a question in regards to TJ Stroud and your Davis Mills comparison. And I was just wondering if you perceive Davis Mills as somebody like a quarterback like Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield. You know, they kind of bloomed late, kind of came on the rise late, moved around on a couple of teams, and then kind of saw the light and kind of started establishing themselves as a starting quarterback in the league. I know earlier y'all were stating, you know, how is Davis Mills better than C.J. Stroud, but could it be a case where he's just developed later and now we're starting to see that?
Craig, I think that's a good question.
Thank you, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in that, you know, that category of like Baker and Sam Darnold, even Daniel Jones, because of where he was drafted. But he'll be 29 in 2027 when he hits free agency again. Would it shock you if a team signed him to be their bridge quarterback when they draft a rookie? Like, could he be the bridge to Arch Manning on the team?
Arch seems random.
You just wanted to hear the drop or something?
No, it's just like...
Why did you just pull Arch?
Texas is back!
Why was that your pull?
Because I think Arch is still going to be a first-round pick in 2027.
He's going to have to prove it next year. It won't be after this. Won't be after this season.
That's 2027.
No, I think it's a... I think it's a good point about the development. Like, he hasn't played many games, especially in college. Like, I know he had the first 2 years. That was kind of just throw him into the wolves, though. No, I think he's gotten better. How much better? Like, what's his ceiling, though? I think it's possible what you said, that somebody could sign him as a 1-2-year gap or even a 6-game gap.
Yeah.
Like, is he the Russell Wilson to Jackson Dart type of gap?
Can he be the next Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Just go team to team. Start 6 games, get benched, come back in when someone gets
hurt. You say Ryan Fitzpatrick because he also went to a smart school?
I didn't, but good catch.
I lean no. I think he's more of a career backup than he is a career journeyman starter.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he gets like one opportunity.
And I also think he's okay with that, right? He signed 2 extensions to be the backup quarterback. Like, I think he's totally fine holding the clipboard and then getting a few games here and there.
You think he gets another one?
Another backup extension?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I think it's important to have continuity between starter and backup. I think it's important to know the roles. And whenever you have a guy signing an extension to be a number 2 behind Stroud because he's clearly the number 1, I think that is beneficial. And also, I think he's helpful to Stroud, like, in the quarterback room. Yeah, I think he's going to be a Texan longer than his current control.
Man, I'd have to test free agency once if I was Davis Mills and see, and just knowing I could go back to Houston. And I feel like Nick Caserio and company, as long as he's the GM here, would be fine with that. Like, wouldn't you encourage a guy to go to free agency? Like, hey,
no,
if someone wants to start you, go get your bag, and then
if not,
come back here.
It sounds more expensive for the Texans.
No, I would not do that. I wouldn't be like, hey, if I'm the general manager of the Texans, I would not be like, hey, you need to go test free agency to see if you're a starter, and now I'm going to have a lesser backup quarterback?
Yeah, but
absolutely.
But if everyone else says no, then you also don't have to pay him $7 million his next contract. You pay him $3.5 million.
No, you can't.
Why not?
Because somebody else would be paying him $7 million to be a backup.
Especially in a multiple, because the contracts are going to go up over time.
No,
by the time this happens.
That sounds like that's so dumb. Hey, Davis, go test free agency. We want you to leave us.
I would not. I would test free agency if I was Davis Mills.
I'm with you. I would test free agency too, but I wouldn't expect my general manager to tell me that.
Yeah.
If he wanted to be a starter, I think he could do that 1 year, where like he's a bridge for a year. I don't think he's a multiple time QB1 in the NFL. I still think he tops out around a top 40 quarterback, not a top 25 quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he, as the texter points out here, he gets disrespected. He can't even get in the backup quarterback commercials. It's Tyrod Taylor, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah,
where's Davis Mills?
Yeah, but he's paid as one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, would you rather have the commercials or would you rather have top three backup quarterback money?
I bet you Tyrod Taylor making similar money and Mitch are making similar money to Davis Mills.
Mitch,
no, we looked
maybe.
This up.
Like
we looked
Tyrod
this up
is.
When Mills signed. Like, Mills is like top three for true backup quarterbacks. Like, there's some quarterbacks who are now backups, but they were starting quarterbacks when they signed, like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Like, Kirk Cousins makes the most backup, but he wasn't signed as a backup.
Yeah, like Tyrod makes $6.8 million.
That's less than Davis. Davis is at $7 million.
Yeah, it's like $200,000. Like,
sure, but
like, it's not that different.
Right. But it doesn't change the point that Davis Mills is one of the top paid backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying he's being disrespected by not being in the backup quarterback commercials.
Nah,
you know who is, though?
Who's that?
The greatest college quarterback of all time.
Yeah, he was. He was in a...
Oh, Case Wilson.
Last year. Yeah, I think he was the first one, actually.
Yeah.
But again, like...
I think Colt was also.
Commercials, you also want to get personality. And like Davis Mills like had the biggest moment of his career yesterday. He's like, one game at a time. Love with the quarter, love with the OC.
Yeah, did you see his
he's very vanilla.
Quote-unquote speech in the locker room after the game? I just thank you guys for believing me. Let's go. That was it.
He's kind of a snoozer.
He is. I hung out with him once at a wedding. And, no, it wasn't a wedding. It was an event.
Okay.
And by hung out, I mean I was at the table adjacent from him and never said a word to him.
Sounds
but
like
we were rubbing
Iverson
elbows.
Story.
But his neck was pretty much right there. It was very similar to the Allen Iverson story. Yeah. Cliff was there that night, actually, as well. So was Case. That was a lot of really good backup quarterbacks.
I was like, what is this event?
Great offensive minds.
Yeah, what
Jim Nance was
this?
There, too.
Was this a good – was this – what
Jim
event
Nance
was this?
There.
Like a quarterback club thing?
I'm going to let y'all guess. 713-780-3776. It's better when you don't know. 713-780-3776. See what the text line is saying. What was Mills S2? Well, I don't know why that matters. Why does that matter?
Higher, though.
Was it higher?
He went to Stanford.
I mean, it probably should be.
Yeah, but some people are like book smart, not common sense smart.
He seems like a common sense guy.
Someone said 474 GPS verified 40 time for Stroud. So what is Mills GPS verified?
I think
Stroud's a little faster. If Stroud was 474, I bet Mills is like a 48, 48 and a half would be my guess. I don't think Mills is faster than Stroud.
He's not considerably slower.
No. No, I think he's at a 48. That would be my guess. Whoever sent us that GPS verified time on Stroud, send us the GPS verified on Davis. If Mills bet on itself... why did he sign an extension? Why didn't he test his mantle in free agency instead of this? I mean, because you're locking up $7 million. Like, I don't blame him for what he did. That's pretty good. Pretty good. $7 million a year to be
the
backup to Stroud?
That's awesome.
You like living in Houston?
Don't have to move, nothing. You're good to go?
Yeah.
Davis Mills apparently ran a 4.58 40.
Not buying that.
At Stanford.
No, I'm not buying that.
Oh, it's a pro day?
And then his other one was a 4.66 at his pro day. I don't think he was a combine guy, so I think that's all we got.
I don't think he was a combine guy.
He ran a 4.66.
Yeah.
I guess he is faster.
That seems a little.
At least in the track outfit.
Was this wind aided? What's the wind like in Palo Alto?
Oh, it just depends on the day.
I'm not buying this. I'm not buying that he ran a 4.55.
4.58, but yeah.
That's insane.
Where are you seeing this, Joe?
NFL.com.
Okay.
It's in a Daniel Jeremiah article.
Oh, really? That's reputable.
For Davis Mills.
He ran a 4.58.
Yeah.
Okay, he's faster than Stroud then. He's faster than Stroud.
Yes, it's 4.58, 4.66.
That's 2 tenths faster than Stroud.
That does back up the point that I don't think Stroud scores there in that specific example of the last play.
That wasn't point A to point B speed.
I stand by, you may disagree. I don't think Stroud scores in that exact same situation. And I said that before knowing the 40 times.
4.58.
That's what it says.
That was like somebody started the clock a little bit later.
At Stanford, probably.
These are like
when they move it like a yard and a half up.
What's it called whenever you like cook them? Like you cook the numbers. They cook the numbers there in Palo Alto. That's why I got drafted in the third, because they're turning in fake 40 times. Mm-hmm. I want to know, is GPS verified? That matters to me more than like point A to point B, especially pro day. You know what I mean? Because like they wear the NFL Next Gen, they wear the stuff. So you can measure this. You just have to have the information.
I was like, is that like readily available to people?
I think for some people.
Oh.
Yeah. Shout out to the fish. 200K.
Shout out to the fish.
Isn't a difference. It's like 2 inches isn't a difference. I'm talking about height, I'm sure. I see what you mean about the Mills free agency, kind of like wait when the Ravens let Lamar test free agency to see if they could get him cheaper. Yeah, two peas in a pod. What event was Branham at with all these quarterbacks would be great for wrong answers only. Yeah, what event was I at? Well, Cliff was there, Davis Mills was there, Case Keenum was there. 713-780-3776. Jim Nance was there. Hello,
friends. That's what throws me off, because it sounds like a Coug event.
Jim Nance was there.
But you have Davis Mills there. So I can't figure it out.
Stroud is not a top 10 quarterback. Mills is nothing like Sam Darnold nor Baker. The amount of extreme views that need to be thrown out are crazy. To be fair, we're not throwing out these extreme views for what it's worth. Would the Steelers be better with Davis Mills?
No.
Mills or Favre? I mean, Rodgers.
I will take Mills over a current day Favre.
Yeah, right now, Mills over Favre.
Scrape.
Rodgers.
Rodgers didn't look very good.
He
yesterday.
Did not look
no,
good.
No, he looked like really bad. Cam Ward says.
He looked really bad. Virginia says, wonder why J-Bone assumes that Mills is slower than Stroud. Because my eyes, man. My eyes tell me that Mills is slower than Stroud. I need the GPS verified. They wear the little catapult brawls. We've seen them. You've seen the football
players. Yeah, like
players.
Kyler wears.
Yeah. They wear these catapult
I think Kyler
brawls.
Wears it for fun, but...
Why would he wear it for fun, Brian?
I don't know. Just he strikes me that way.
Wrong answers only. Who was Branham with that day? He says James Harden birthday party. Nah. I didn't have the $100,000 golden, what was it called? Honey bun. I didn't have the honey bun to attend Harden's birthday. All right, let's talk about this offensive line. The musical chairs, what's going on with it? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, and it's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Football season is in full swing, and however you like to get in on all the action, you can do it on Underdog right now in Texas. This season, you can make team picks and player picks. Just download the app, sign up, and you'll get $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Using Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite team will win or if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Plus, with Underdog's ultra-fast payouts, you can get your profits in a snap. So download the app today and use promo code KILLERB, KILLERB, to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5 fantasy entry. Player picks, team picks, all on Underdog.
Crypto.com predictions powered by Underdog Predict. Trading derivatives involves risk and may not be appropriate for all. For more information, visit nadex.com/rules and underdogfantasy.com/rules. For Crypto.com predictions, the term pick refers to a product traded on CDNA. Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
Chastang Ford is the place to go if you're in the market for a Ford. Their professional staff will provide you with an outstanding truck buying experience. They offer competitive pricing and an extensive selection of new and used Ford vehicles. From the sales staff to the finance team, their knowledgeable and friendly staff are devoted to helping you find the perfect Ford for your needs. Chastang Ford also offers exclusive incentives and deals to get the most out of your purchase. Whether looking for a truck or SUV, Chastang Ford is the perfect place to find your dream Ford.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hey, you got better things to do than think about your electricity bill, but how do you avoid the surprise of a high bill at the end of the month? Here's what I do. I rely on the guys over at Champion Energy. With their low-price, fixed-rate plans, there's never any surprises. Plus, the team at Champion sends me weekly usage reports with my projected bill amount. Again, no surprises. They also remind me when my contract is about to expire so I can lock in on low prices. Visit Champion.energy to view a variety of fixed-rate offers. That's Champion.energy. Promo code 1560. Promo code 1560.
Your home for Texas A&M Athletics, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
John Granato here. Walking into Republic Boot Company at 11th and Studewood in the Heights is like walking into a time machine to the Republic of Texas. Seriously, go check it out. Whether it's their exclusive 1836 collection of all leather boots or a customized pair with whatever material and design you want, these are going to be the most comfortable boots you've ever worn. Hats, suits, and all kinds of handmade leather products in a Texas-inspired haven. Book their space for your next event. Republic Boot Company, where tradition meets style. RepublicBootCompany.com.
Oh, and that's a hard foul. Let's listen for the call on the floor.
The taxpayer owes back taxes. Penalties and interest are assessed and wage garnishments to begin immediately.
The IRS never misses that call. I wonder if they will challenge it.
The call is under review.
Priority Tax Relief has been called in for a review. Priority is the best in the business at negotiating your tax debt and has even eliminated the debt for some clients. Priority Tax Relief is saving their clients millions of dollars every month.
After a careful review from Priority Tax Relief, the debt has been eliminated. No foul on the play.
Whoa, that completely changes the game, folks.
If you owe more than $5,000, call Priority Tax Relief, and in minutes, they'll review your case for free with a direct line to the IRS to see if you qualify for life-changing relief. No more worrying about wage garnishments or frozen bank accounts. Call Priority Tax Relief today at 800-781-9216. That's 800-781-9216.
We make your tax relief our priority.
Call now. Priority Tax Relief.
John Granato here with Yanni Damaris, talking football season now. I got a few suggestions for you, Yanni. Why don't we do a Thursday night steak night?
You know, that sounds great.
How about Saturday, all-you-can-eat ribs?
That also sounds awesome.
We got 16 TVs where you can watch your games all day long and eat Yanni's ribs. What about on Sundays to watch the hometown team? How about a little happy hour?
How about a football happy hour?
It's all going on at 18th Street in the West Loop. I don't mind giving the business away. It ain't mine. It's great barbecue and a whole lot more. Damaris Barbecue.
Hey, Lance Erline here. What's the scariest thing about winter coming? You thought it was Nightwalkers? No, they're not even real. But the scary things are frozen, broken pipes. They can be real and cost you thousands of dollars when you get damage to your home. Aqueduct Plumbing Company can come out and give you a free estimate for pipes that don't burst in a freeze. Billy Brown says if you go with them, he'll throw in a traditional water heater absolutely free. Call him today, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
John Granato with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, if you are a business, you will go to them.
We are here to help you with your railings, with your fencing, with your door frames. We can do it for you.
HoustonPowderCoaters.com or call 281-676-3888.
Looking for a great way to listen to ESPN 97.5 whenever and wherever you are? Then download the ESPN Houston app. Just search ESPN Houston in your app store and download today. The ESPN Houston app is brought to you by Collector's Firearms and Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Why can't you guys text back on the text line? We can't. We just don't want to. 713-780-3776. That's actually not true. We can't text back.
Sassy.
Are we just, sure?
Yeah, I think I've tried. Oh. Let's try. Let's try with the guy who asked. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. See if you get... Hey, we sent you a text back.
Let us know if you got it.
The person that said, why can't you guys text back on the text line? I just responded to you. Let me know if you got that. 713-780-3776. Okay, what'd you think of this offensive line? Kind of weird, right?
Yeah,
like, you're not going to have Ed Ingram. You're not going to have Titus Howard. So you expect some changes to the right side of the offensive line. And then, Jarrett Patterson's playing left guard? That one seemed kind of weird. City Sow? I think that's how you say his name. City Sow?
I don't know,
Brian. Stop asking me the tough questions. That was weird.
It was unexpected, to say the least.
And then the City Sow guy, whoever he is, he played 9 snaps.
Yeah. Like, we've seen enough.
Like, the dysfunction here is extreme. Like, first, let the left guard spot. It's either extreme that you're rotating Lakin Tomlinson and Juice Scruggs when you told us yesterday Jarrett Patterson deserves to get the start,
mm-hmm.
or playing Jarrett Patterson over those guys was odd. So, like, either way, the decision there is wrong. It just depends on when you made the wrong decision. And then City Sal, at least you admitted that he was playing poorly. You make the decision to bench him after 9 plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, okay.
And it was Scruggs?
Yeah, it was Juice.
Went right guard?
Yeah, Juice played right guard the rest of the way. So, like, I respect the fact that, hey, he's playing poorly. Let's bench his tail. Get it. Awesome. But these are the same people that said he should start.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's so much musical chairs, dysfunction, weirdness going on with this offensive line.
It's like they got no idea. That's what it feels like to me, Jeremy. They got no idea what they should be doing out there.
And they're just throwing pieces, throwing
yes.
darts. You know what? That might be the best case scenario, though. Like,
yeah.
All of these guys are bad. Let's just continue to throw the darts at the board and search for somebody who's going to give us some actually good film and good reps.
Yeah.
That might be best case scenario from a decision point of view.
And just like you're rotating your left guard. It's like, well, if this guy has a really good drive, then he gets the next drive. And then he gets another one. And then he gets another one. Then when he gets his ass kicked, you switch him out. You just play the hot hand.
That could be it. Like, I don't really...
I don't know. What else would it be? Besides, it looks like just a team that's totally unprepared and has no idea the evaluation of their roster and what they actually think of it.
Well.
Which is probably the reality, to be honest with you.
Well. that's... What you just described would be a way better alternative. Like, this guy's giving me below average play. Let's try the next guy. This guy's giving me below average play. Let's try the next guy. This guy's giving me below average play. Let's try the next guy. And then you hope after a couple of series you have, like, the best mix of guys. Yeah, I didn't really think of it that way, and I think that's acceptable.
Yeah, that's the glass half full.
People wouldn't like that, but I think it's acceptable.
Yeah, and they would never tell us that. They would never admit to just being like, yeah, we're just throwing out the dudes.
Here was D'Amico. He was asked, not yesterday, which is, kind of interesting, but he was asked today his decision to go with that specific starting offensive line.
Yeah, for the offensive line, we'll continue to find, what works for us and, the best guys that we can put out there. We're going to try that. And it's a culmination of a lot of things that you guys don't see from practice, from how we've seen guys work throughout the week, how they're doing. Yes, with the mental being where they're supposed to be doing the things that we asked them to do on a consistent basis, like a lot of things go into play there. So still a lot of things that we can clean up, and a lot of things just with our entire team, we can just be more consistent on doing the things that we're asked to do. And till we're going to keep moving guys around till we find the right group that's going to do it the right way, do what we're asking them to do every single time that they're out there.
There you go. That kind of speaks to your thing, Joe. Like, hey, we're just going to keep throwing guys out there until we find something.
Yeah, I also just when a coach says, you guys don't know what everything goes into, and then what happens at practice, I wish someone would ask a follow-up question. They'd be like, can you explain how at practice a player can look so good, but then get benched after 9 plays?
Yeah, I actually love that he said that.
But, like, can you explain it? Like explain how a player can look so good at practice, or the mental, or whatever the other things that City So showed that got you 9 reps.
I feel like
in a game.
We need to set up Joe to say that name as
City
much as possible.
City So showed.
City So. Like, what do you show at practice that gets you 9 reps in a game?
Especially against who, Joe? The Texans defensive line.
Yes. So like if you're hanging it like now, so that would mean
he's
having
good
a good practice. Yeah, I just want to know like what D'Amico would say.
Yeah, it's a good follow-up question. I actually love what D'Amico said there though. Like you guys think you know all this stuff and you don't. Now it didn't help in the specific example here where Sidy Sow was benched in 9 plays. Like it doesn't help there. But I like it when coaches put media in their place. Like how do you know who should be playing left guard for us? You have no clue. You don't know what's happening in practice. You don't know who's making the right coverage calls. You don't know who's making, you know, whenever we call for inside leverage that isn't having a busted assignment. You don't know who showed up late Tuesday for practice. Like I love it whenever coaches do that actually.
I hear you, but it feels like sentences like what we just heard are only said from a defensive mindset. Like they're being defensive about the question, and so then they say, well, you guys didn't see it. That sentence is never said about something positive happened. Like, hey, why'd you insert this guy? Like, we weren't expecting this sort of performance.
Couldn't it be positive from a Jarrett Patterson point of view? Because he wasn't asked about an individual.
Fair. Okay. I could see that, but I took from the tone more of it like him being defensive about it.
Yeah, I mean... That's fair. But I like it when coaches do that. Like, your media really has no idea.
You're right.
No clue.
But it's also like, I'm curious what, like, when we rewatch the game on the All 22, what you'll see from Patterson. But it felt like he held his own.
It did.
In this game. So what took so long to try this?
Or why did the other guy look so much better than Patterson during practice? Like, what made him stand out as a better option than Patterson?
That's a really good follow-up question. You should go cover the beat.
I just don't.
Because that's a good
follow-up. I ain't got time for that.
All right, fair, coach. Good point, fair. I don't see. What did he show out during the week that earned him the start?
And what's so strange about the Texans and how they've handled the offensive line is that even though it feels like Patterson played well, would it shock anyone if he's not the starting left guard this weekend?
A little bit, yeah.
Really?
Who's taking his spot? Well, there is one scenario out there where... It's possible he could be supplanted.
With Titus Howard at left guard?
Yeah.
Which would be interesting.
Yeah. That's the only scenario where I would like. Like, if Tomlinson or Juice is playing left guard, that's...
Like, what's going on here if that happens?
So what do you want your starters to be? If everybody's healthy, let's assume health.
I thought Trent Brown was good in this game, but I still feel like that's a lot to ask for him to be your starting right tackle.
I didn't realize this until I read Jonathan Alexander today. Apparently, he did like hurt his foot or ankle and left the game in a walking boot.
Okay, so then,
but again, we're assuming health for this exercise.
Well, I mean, I like Trent Brown there at right tackle if he's healthy.
Interesting.
I'm good with it. I think left guard's been a problem. Titus Howard at left guard works. It's where he started his first day at training. The first day of training camp, he was your left guard. Blake Fisher was at right tackle. And now they went away with it pretty quickly and tried different lineman combinations. But I like Titus at left guard and then Ingram at right guard and try Trent Brown at right tackle.
Yeah, I differ. I'm not like, you know, bent out of shape over it. If they do that, I'm not going to lose my mind. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. I would go Ursary at left tackle, Patterson at left guard. You're currently who you have at center. I'm blanking on his name.
Jake Andrews.
Yeah, Andrews at center, right guard Ingram, right tackle Titus. Yeah, Titus has been good.
I'm definitely doing a little bit of the back of the baseball card here with Trent Brown, like fully acknowledging that the
his on the career back of his baseball card
is he was there. He had a great view of the touchdown. Joe spotted it.
He was in the lower bowl.
He was like in the upper bowl. It looked like in the suites. Yeah.
Where did you see this?
One of the Texans aggregators retweeted it, or Schwab. Really? Someone did. But I'm kind of doing back of the baseball card with Trent Brown of giving him credit of his career and putting him at right tackle. If you don't want to go down that path, then I think what you laid out is the right decision with Patterson at left guard and Howard at right.
I don't think there's any other option for what it's worth.
It's not Blake Fisher.
I think those are the only two scenarios. And I'd be okay with either scenario. I lean mine, obviously. You lean yours, obviously. Break the tie, Brian. Be our arbiter.
I would prefer to have Titus at his most natural position,
right.
Being right tackle.
Yeah, scoreboard Branham. But I'm kidding.
And I know you don't like Blake Fisher. I don't either as a tackle. I will say, though, I do like him as the extra tackle.
Love extra
tackles. If we're going to try to get, we haven't had many occasions to ever give Blake Fisher credit for anything.
Yeah.
I will say, in that case, credit's due. I like him as the extra tackle.
I don't think there's another offensive line configuration, though, that would be acceptable.
I agree. I think it's one of those two. You guys outvote me today.
Yeah,
fine.
You're a loser.
I agree also with what Brian said. Like, Blake Fisher has been good as that sixth offensive lineman. Still a terrible draft pick.
No, it's still terrible. Sure. Yeah. If he was a fifth round pick, cool.
That's how you're the second rounder. Sucks. Yeah. Not great. It shouldn't even be a question. He should be your right tackle right now.
No,
with where you drafted
him. Yeah, in terms of where you drafted him and the ROI you're expected to get from the position,
But you ain't getting anything out of him.
But if you're D'Amico and Kaylee and offensive line coach Greg Popovich, lost long son, like, you're not you're not going with Fisher as a – I mean, he's your third option at right tackle.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about either Titus or Trent Brown. Fisher would be third. Yeah. In that conversation. 713-780-ESPN. Is which offensive line configuration are you going with? I have some final questions for you, Joe, from these games yesterday. That late pass interference on Christian Kirk, should that have been a pass interference? Liam Cohen has some thoughts. What did you think of D'Amico Ryan's celebration at the end of yesterday's game? Did he go over the top for how a head coach should behave? What did you think of J.J. Watt saying "we" on the broadcast? And then there was a guy interviewed yesterday who, whenever I heard it, I was like, that's how he talks? I'm going to make you guess who that guy was. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up right now. Maybe it's a pre-owned vehicle. That's cool, too. Monument Chevrolet is the dealership that you can trust, though, for either option. They're transparent with you. They're not going to hassle you. You're going to get your car shopping done fast. That's why Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years now. That's why they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. And then you know what happens? These families just keep coming back. Why? Because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel there. They have a great atmosphere, a friendly atmosphere. It's because they hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture. So if you're in the market, Monument Chevrolet is the place you need to go. They have a massive lot there at Monument Chevrolet as well. Their lot's so big, they have to have street names on their lot. So head over there, check out their full inventory. You're going to get a fair deal, a transparent deal, without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. You can check out their full inventory there in person, 225 and Beltway 8, but also online, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Danny Clark, owner of Collector's Firearms on the corner of Westheimer and Voss. Holiday season is upon us. Need a gift idea for a client, friend, or family member who loves guns? We're your one-stop shop. Our half-acre showroom is filled with new and pre-owned guns of every make and model, plus collectibles, accessories, ammo, and if you're just not sure what to get, gift cards are available. Collector's Firearms on the corner of Westheimer and Voss. Look for the tank out front. Online at collectorsfirearms.com.
Looking sharp has never been this easy or this affordable. It's the Suit March Buy One, Get Two event. Buy one suit at regular price. Get your second suit for just $30 and your third suit for only $20. Choose from a huge selection of slim fit, classic, and modern styles with sizes up to 70 regular. Hurry in. This offer runs Thursday, November 13th through Sunday, November 16th at all three Suit March locations. Suit March, where style meets savings.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Follow us on socials at ESPN Houston and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
I'm going to change your push notifications. Look.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What did you think of the Jerry and Jones interference on Christian Kirk? Here was Liam Cohen yesterday after the game. Important to differentiate between the two. Yesterday after the game, Liam Cohen on the late pass interference.
They said that it was, you know, contact on the head. You know, I didn't see the pass interference either. That brought him down inside the 5-yard line or whatever when Jarin makes the play on the ball or gets his head around or whatever it was. I didn't see, you know, they said that he might have had his wrist or something. But, yeah, we're not going to get any of those.
The hit on the head, he was talking about a previous penalty, the Walker hit on Mills that was the roughing the passer and then got to the late pass interference. So that's what he said yesterday. And then here was Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen today was asked about just penalties in general, and he kind of got sidetracked and talked about that pass interference call again.
I mean, look, Jarin Jones, you know, gets a PI on a 25-yard line that goes down to the 2 on a mutual hand fight and combat play.
All right, what do you think?
It looks like to me he's got his wrist.
100.
So I think it's pass interference.
You're not cool enough to say that. Sorry.
Definitely not.
I just have to put that out there because that sounded awkward AF.
Fair.
It's pass interference.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he not grab his wrist?
Does Christian Kirk not forearm shiver the dude right in the gut? You could have easily caught a pass interference on Kirk.
I would have been fine with a no call there, but like if you're looking at it and like, okay, well, did he grab his wrist?
I looked at it, Brian.
No, I'm saying this is a hypothetical world where the replay still existed for defensive pass interference. I don't think they would overturn it because he did grab his wrist.
I think you could have very easily caught an interference on Kirk too. Kirk gives him a little forearm shiver right to the chest to create separation, which leads to the arm grab.
I will agree, and Watt said in the broadcast that it was nitpicky. It's borderline.
I thought it was
super
nitpicky.
But at the moment where the defensive back grabs Kirk's wrist, I think the argument ends there.
Okay. Why doesn't it begin when Kirk gives him a forearm shiver to the chest plate?
I would have been fine with a no-call. No-call is probably the right.
Well, how would you have felt about an OPI?
I would not. I wouldn't have felt that was warranted.
It's an arm push-off.
I know. Again, look, I'm on the side of it should have been a no call. I'm just saying once it's called and you see the wrist grab, I don't see why the argument would be for that it was a terrible call.
But you could say the same thing as a Jacksonville perspective about the push-off. Let's say they threw an offensive pass interference. There's probably some producer in Jacksonville right now, probably RJ, that would have been...
RJ did send me some audio today.
That would have been saying, well, as soon as you see the push-off, there's the flag. What I also think is interesting is the spot where they put it. Like, because you're talking about the wrist grab, okay, wrist grab, cool. Like, I wouldn't have thrown the flag personally. I think it could have easily been a PI on Kirk as it was on the Jacksonville defender. If you call it when the wrist grab first occurs, it's like at the 7.
That's where my biggest issue with the call is just that it feels like you could call that on almost every play.
Yes.
So that's where, like, it is kind of ticky-tack.
Which is what Watt said.
Yeah, so I'm fine with the call, but, like, maybe it's because it's biased because the Texans benefited from it.
Yeah. But I thought it was very – the spot, I think, is very weird, too. Why is this at the 2 when the wrist grab occurs at the 7? Yeah. Now, Liam Cohen exaggerated when he said the 25. I don't know where he got that from.
Yeah.
What? That seems a bit egregious there, Liam.
So, we'll see. I mean, like going forward, I'm always curious what, like, the overcorrection with what this stuff is in the offseason. But this feels like one that it's just it's a missed call. It's not the worst call we've seen this season. But they probably overdid it a little bit here.
I wouldn't have thrown the flag. I thought you could have went either way on it, but it is what it is. What did you think of J.J. Watt, by the way, in the booth?
I think he's really good. I really like the combo.
Really good.
Same.
I enjoy it.
He's got a little bit of the dad hair when they go to the booth shot. But
I'm not going to go to really good. I think it's good.
I think it's the combo that probably makes it really good for me.
I think Ian Eagle's the best.
Yeah. I think Ian, he raises J.J. Watt's game a little bit. They do a good balance.
You're saying if he was with Spiro Dides, we wouldn't think as much about
J.J.
Watt?
That guy sucks.
No, he's not very good.
Him and Archuleta are awful.
Watt was mispronouncing some names, though.
That's not great.
Shaiir, he called him. Aziz Al-Shaiir, he called that to Aziz, which it's, as we all know, it's Shire. And he also called Kalen Bullock, which I tried to school everybody and educate everybody on this last year, which it finally worked. It's Kalen Bullock, not
Bullock. To be honest with you, I probably get both those wrong still, like at least once a week.
Yeah, but you're not in the booth for CBS.
That's true.
He needs to look at some pronunciation guides, JJ.
Yeah.
If that's one critique from one mediocre broadcaster to the greatest Houston Texan of all time, look at some pronunciation guides. It's not Al Shire, and it's not Bullock.
Yeah.
It's Shire, and it's Bullock. He's also catching heat in Jacksonville because he referred to the Texans as we.
So it's funny. We had this conversation on Friday.
It's weird because he said it Sunday.
About the fan conference, like the fans saying we in regards to a team.
How do you feel about that?
We hate it.
Yeah, we can't.
Why do you care?
It sounds stupid. Like, I think where we draw the line, Joe, like if it's okay if you're an alum and it is a college school.
Yeah.
But outside of that, if it's a pro team, it sounds weird and lame.
Y'all are lame for thinking it's lame.
You say we were talking about the Texans?
I personally don't.
Okay.
But I don't care the people that do. I don't begrudge anybody that does.
Are you on the team?
I don't say it.
I know. I'm talking to you as the hypothetical fan.
Yeah, but I mean, you are a Houston. You're in the city. Like, you're a citizen of the city. They represent the city.
What if it's a Texans fan that's moved to Denver? Can you still say we then?
It's a little bit weirder.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't think JJ should be saying that in the booth.
I don't either. Like,
you have to separate church and state here a little bit. Like, I get it. You're one of four people now in the Ring of Honor for the Houston Texans, but it's tough to say us. You know, if you're playing the what did Adam Archuleta play for? The Rams.
Rams, yeah.
Like, if you were playing the Rams and he said us,
yeah,
Texans fans would get annoyed with that. We would be annoyed by it. So that's one for JJ. They probably are gonna.
And I think that he slipped. I don't think that he's like going to do this routinely. I think it was just a screw up slip. No big deal. I think it's more of a big deal for him to read the pronunciation guides than it is to say we. The we was an obvious slip. He probably knew it right when he said it, I bet. Like, no one even needed to tell JJ because he knew it the moment that he said it. Now, pronunciation guides, maybe producer needs to get into his ear. But that's what I would say to the people, because a lot of Texans fans are like, who cares? He is a Texan. He's in the Ring of Honor. Well, how would you feel if Tony Boselli was calling the game and he was referring to Jacksonville?
They wouldn't like that. Yeah.
That's where you got to call it down the middle. You got
to
go both ways. Yeah. You got to go both ways. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. James, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. As far as the Christian Kirk pass interference, I feel like that probably should have been a no call, but we also, I mean, it was like three or four times where pass interference was called against the Texans that, I mean, it was really not good, especially the one down close to the end zone where Trevor Lawrence threw it way to the outside and the wide receiver was cutting back to the inside. I mean, the ball wasn't even catchable. So I think there was a lot of questionable calls. I don't think the referees overall had a good game, but you can't call that one on Christian Kirk and not call the one on the deep route where he was running into the end zone and there was not no pass interference called on that one. I thought that was another one that should have been called. As far as J.J. Watt, I think he actually is really pretty good. But it was almost like I think in this game he was trying too hard not to say good things about the Texans and was kind of lifting Jacksonville up a lot more. So it was like he was trying too hard. But that's all I have. Thanks.
Yeah, I think, look, the JJ is just trying to – he's doing a great job for the most part, but he said he slipped.
I mean, the Jags were up 29-10. Of course he's going to say good things about him in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's – what's he supposed to say?
Yeah, I thought he was solid. I could actually see what he's saying, though. I think there was a little bit of the times when he was like, okay, I can't lay it on too thick about the Texans. I need to call it down the middle. He never crossed the line, but I did notice it a little bit.
I don't know if this was trying to avoid like being old takes exposed or trying to defend the Texans a little bit, that as they were down 29-10, he didn't shut the door on the Texans coming back and winning the game. He said something along the lines of, they still have there's still a small chance this game's not over.
I mean, that's broadcaster
thing,
though. Like, you don't want to turn off the game.
I guess.
It's kind of like it's never over. It's kind of what you're taught as a broadcaster. And he's in his year one, so he's probably heard that. And, like, I got to, you know, that has to resonate.
Try to keep people locked in as much as possible.
Yeah, 4447, great job, guys. Keep up the great work. Stop sending us flattering texts. We do not like them. Here was, after the game, some player got interviewed, and I heard his voice, and I didn't realize he talked like this. Maybe it's because I'm a noob. I don't know. But guess who this is, Joe?
This one came down to the wire. How did you guys stay calm under pressure?
We just leaned back on our video that we had Saturday night. It was a boxing match. And
any idea?
The man came down to the last second, and that's what we did today in the fourth quarter.
Mikato Henson, baby.
This offense was able to keep sharpening itself as
Smith's
the game
daughter.
Went on. How would you say that that just proves that you guys were able to pull it off?
We played together. We started off a little rocky, and then we started coming together, and we played together, and then we just got the rolling.
Our next home game
Woody
is
going to
be Thursday.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Woody Marks. How'd you get that?
Well, I was looking at defense first. My first thought was, is that Daniel Hunter? I was just trying to think of who they talked to.
Woody.
I was like, I knew it wasn't Nico Collins.
Oh, so you're just going, who had a good game?
I was like, who had a good game? And like, who is worthy of talking to?
Yeah. It was Woody Marks, baby. I didn't realize Woody Marks. I thought that too, Brian.
It sounds so
I thought there was
like
a little bit of Mike Tyson there with Woody Marks.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of Tyson with Woody Marks.
Spinal.
Play Woody now. Play the Mike Tyson and then the Woody Marks. He played here a second. I didn't know he talked like that.
No, I had no idea.
That was funny. Junkie, you say Bullock all the time, Branham. No, I don't. I've been on the Bullock train since last year when he was drafted because he did a video and he pronounced his name Bullock. And I was like, that's a weird way to pronounce Bullock because it's spelled Bullock, but it's pronounced Bullock. So you're wrong, Texter. And for being wrong, you're banned. You're kicked out of the show for the next hour. We'll hear back from you tomorrow.
Yeah, are we sure on this one? Because last time we did that, it went horribly wrong.
I mean, there's tweets here, Brian. There's receipts where I'm like, hey, guys, start saying it Bullock. Because the pronunciation guy for the Texans even have it. They were wrong. I was right. Yeah. Texans were wrong about Bullock. I've always been his biggest supporter, except when he tries to tackle. He's terrible at that.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad tackler.
Not great.
What did you think of D'Amico Ryans running
Marks,
in the end zone?
Woody, this one came down to the wire. How did you guys... stay calm under pressure.
We just leaned back on our video that we had Saturday night.
It was praise be to Allah. I'm going to eat his children.
Came down to the last second. And
can we do spinal. Let's do a little bit of Sora, a little AI with Woody Marks talking like Tyson.
It definitely sounds like Mike Tyson.
He sounds like Mike Tyson.
I don't really. Like, what, are people upset about D'Amico?
I tweeted it out. I was rage baiting people. So D'Amico
just
Ryan's
throw this crap out there to get clicks.
This is 100% that. John's right. John's always been right, though. Yeah, I've gotten 58,000 views since noon today because I was rage baiting today. Okay. You know? So D'Amico, after the final play of the game, where Will Anderson gets to the quarterback, gets to Lawrence, ball floats in the air, Rankins catches it, pick six, runs into the end zone. D'Amico Ryan's like beats him down there. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a video on the Chronicle where like D'Amico, it looks computer generated. Where like D'Amico Ryan's is at the like. Out of the end zone, and like this picture, the players are celebrating at the goal line, and he's like on the outer boundary. Like I thought it was computer generated at first, but he runs down there, he's celebrating with his teams, and I posted the video, a lot of old school NFL coaches may not love this from D'Amico, which is 100% true. Like there's a lot of coaches old school that aren't going to like this behavior from D'Amico Ryans.
Agreed.
Where if you ask Nick Saban what he thought of D'Amico Ryans, he'd be like, I don't like it. If you ask Bill Belichick what he thought about, he would not like it. Bill Parcells would not like it. What did you think of it?
I don't really care. I think it's great. Like you want to celebrate a fat man touchdown, you celebrate that fat man touchdown.
Yeah. I don't really care either, but I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong at all.
Bill Belichick would scoff it. Bill O'Brien would not do that. No, absolutely not. Like, there's reasons that managers, after they win a World Series, don't go dogpile with their team.
Yeah.
It's thought of as disrespectful. There's a reason the coaches don't celebrate with their players a lot of times after a big buzzer beater. It's because coaches think it's disrespectful. You go shake the other coach's hand and you move on with things. That's an old school thought. So there's a lot of old school coaches that are going to see this and ask their opinion. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know. But if we asked old school coaches their opinion on this, they would tell you they do not like that sort of behavior.
100%.
I don't think anybody in Houston really cares.
No.
Now, what if it was Liam Cohen that did it? Let's say Trevor Lawrence throws a Hail Mary for
What's
a win.
What's up, Trevor?
Let's say if he throws a Hail Mary for a win and he went down there and greeted Parker Washington in the end zone. How would Houston feel about it?
Probably wouldn't like it.
Probably wouldn't like it all.
But if you're good with this, now you have to be good if it happens to you.
How would they have liked it if Alex Cora ran out and dogpiled after they won the ALDS?
Probably would have hoped he broke his leg in the pile.
Probably. It's one of those things. It's one of those. Look, D'Amico's could be saying, hey, antiquated school of thought. I'm not antiquated. I'm not going to be old school. I'm going to be me. Cool. Cool. Be unapologetically yourself. I'm cool with it. I love you, D'Amico. I'm a fan. But I think there's some NFL old school types that might not like this a whole lot. All right, 713-780-3776. Lots going on around the NFL yesterday. Who had the best win in the NFL yesterday. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
We just got back from the sportsbook at LaBerge and Lake Charles. We were there all weekend doing shows, and it's a great time. It was awesome on Saturday again. Aggies fans, they love to go to the sportsbook at LaBerge and Lake Charles. Another incredible environment for the UFC fight and all the college football games going on this weekend. We saw a big group of Texas Tech fans rent out one of the big VIP fan cave sections that they have available. And for those, all you have to do is go to LaBerge's website. Click on the sportsbook. You scan the QR code. You'll get connected with Pedro via email. Tell them when you want to book it, whether it's for a big Texans game coming up, a Rockets game, whatever you want to do, you can look at. But if you want to look at March Madness, playoffs, Super Bowl, I would reach out immediately. You can bet on all of your Houston area teams, and that's where you should always be. Because they were telling me, look, we got a lot of people that have to come over here just to bet on the Houston Rockets. So you got to do that only at LaBerge. Make sure you check them out every time you go to Lake Charles. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.